place to go.
And good morning, sunrise over Lake Michigan from the WGN Radio Skyline Studio, the Steve Cochran Show for this Monday morning, the 19th of August. Dave Ennett here. G is back for week number three, much better rested than she was last Monday morning.
Yes, I am.
I can tell the circles have disappeared.
Yes.
You're not yawning.
Dave, you're telling all my secrets to the listeners.
Come on, I mean, you looked great last Monday. Don't get me wrong. Steve Krasanich is in the newsroom. Mary Vandevelde in the traffic center. Super Joe and Vivian on the other side of the glass.
This is unbelievable, this sunrise. I wish folks could see it. I mean, it looks picture perfect. It looks like it's out of a movie.
Can we stream the sunrise? Hey, Super Joe. What can you do about our sun cam?
No, that's a good looking one. I'm going to give that one a 9. That's a 9,
yeah,
definitely.
This is one of the
Don't look too much, though. You're going to be blinded.
Oh, really?
No, right.
Yeah, I've been staring at it. Oh, man, yeah. That's gorgeous.
It's like you don't look at an ellipse.
Happy to be alive.
Eclipse. Or yes. An ellipse.
Yeah, the way it's shining off the lake there, it's got some
hey, it's Monday. It's 6:13 on a Monday, all right?
I know. Dave worked last night,
yeah,
too.
I did. Let's get to the top 6 at 6.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
We start the top 6 this morning. Rather sobering story. Tristan Scott Wicks charged for threatening to commit a mass shooting after his ex-girlfriend alerted authorities to a series of ominous text messages he sent her. The 25-year-old was arrested on Friday in a parking lot at a Winn-Dixie, Daytona Beach Shores, according to the county sheriff's office there in a news release. So, you got a little more on that, Steve?
Yeah, there's actually an update to the whole story. Since Friday, since that arrest, two other people have been arrested across the country, also threatening mass shootings. Police have been able to prevent quite a few of these over the weekend. In all the cases, people were found with guns, assault rifles, and lots of ammunition.
Hmm. All right. Thank goodness. Maybe we're becoming more diligent and seeing these warning signals and
That's
doing
so
something
frightening,
about it.
Yeah.
All right. Another sad story over the weekend. Former Bears running back Cedric Benson killed in a motorcycle accident on a Saturday night. 36 years old. A female passenger on his motorcycle was also killed. A minivan also involved in that accident. Two people in the minivan suffered minor injuries. As Cedric Benson was drafted by the Bears 4th overall in 2005. He was part of their last Super Bowl team in 2006. Ended up playing 3 years here. Did not have a great career in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Actually was more productive after he left the Bears and went to Cincinnati.
Did you get a chance to talk to him a lot?
A little bit when he was here, yeah. But he was sort of a, he was a guy who held out at the beginning of his career, which kind of got him off to a shaky start. Mm-hmm. And yet, he was a tremendous talent and ended up, I think, fulfilling some of that talent when he went to Cincinnati, where he spent a good part of his career. But a very sad story. He was 36 years old.
Yeah. Oof. And he opened a big foundation, too, in Austin.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. So sad.
Weight Watchers just released an app for kids, and no surprise, people are upset. Weight Watchers, which rebranded itself WW last fall, pledging to focus more on wellness than on shedding pounds.
This is a travesty.
Okay, explain this to me.
Okay, so now they've rebranded it, and it's designed to help kids and teens ages 8 to 17 develop healthy eating habits and get active.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. Let's make it activity-focused, but just the fact that it's called Weight Watchers, I'm sorry, still.
Well, I thought that's why they call it WW now.
I know, but still. I mean, it's one thing if it's
they
like
know
a,
what it is.
Yeah,
everybody
they know
knows
what, it is. Weight Watchers still makes you feel like you're watching your weight.
I don't know. We have an epidemic of overweight kids, though. I mean, anything to help, it seems like a good thing, right? I mean,
let's call it the Get Active app or something. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Well,
it worries me because, you know, like kids are already obsessed, especially young girls, with losing weight. I mean, as young as like 8 years old, 7 years old, you'll hear them say that they're too fat. So, I mean, yeah, I understand the rebranding, but it just kind of concerns me that it's still like Weight Watchers, you know?
Well, at least it's not Husky Watch or something like that. I mean, it's weight. I mean, I don't know. I kind of think kids need to be more aware sometimes of their weight and eating healthier.
We'll see what comes to that. Greenlanders baffled by President Trump's interest. President Trump on Sunday confirmed his interest in potentially buying Greenland, but said it was not a priority. A survey finds millennials lie on their resumes five times more often than baby boomers. In an online survey of over 1,000 people conducted for the personal finance site Go Banking Rates, only 5% of respondents reported they never lied on a resume. But apparently, the younger you are, the likelier you are to be untruthful or, to stretch the truth.
Well, maybe millennials are just, I'm just playing devil's advocate this morning. Do you like it? Maybe millennials are just a little bit more creative, you know? They're a little, maybe.
You're a millennial, right?
No, I think I'm Gen Z.
Yeah.
Really? I wish I were a millennial. Let's say that I am.
Yes, well, I'm a boomer.
Yes,
so
Dave, I am a millennial.
There you go. Now you get it. And finally, today is National Aviation Day, National Soft Serve Ice Cream Day, and International Bow Day. What's international?
I think it's Bow Day.
Is it Bow or Bow?
I think it would
do you go around bowing to people today?
That would be very Japanese.
It is a bow.
It's a bow. Like wear a bow in your hair?
You need to wear a bow tie.
Mm-hmm. I'm bowing anyways.
Or a bow tie.
Okay, thanks.
I'll just eat the ice cream.
Okay, bow or bow, it's your day, and that's the top six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, around the horn, how was your weekend, Steve?
Had a great weekend. Thank you.
Anything in particular?
No, just spent some time with friends and did a few tours around the house, and poof, it's Monday again.
How about you, Mary?
Just a little upsetting because I didn't get to see the babies because they were sick and couldn't come in.
That's no good.
Yeah, I know. I was a little bummed.
It's no good at all.
Oh, well. Otherwise, it was fine.
Dave? Had a great weekend. Steve, how about you? Not to me yet. Joe?
I also had a great weekend.
Yeah,
you did?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, you shot Dave down.
Well, no, I gave him a shot, and he tried to pass to me.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not a game show. Viv?
It's not a game show.
It's not a game show.
I thought it was a game show. Wait.
Viv, how was your weekend?
My weekend was an interesting weekend. It was a good weekend, but Friday was a little scary.
Friday was scary. Why?
So we went out boating with my dad, and maybe 20 minutes into boating, my dad felt so nauseous, and he felt like he was fainting.
But your dad's a sailor man.
I know.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
I know.
Oh, no. I started to giggle because I thought you were going to say he was listening to the radio and heard about what you did with the boat, not because he was feeling
ill. You mean that thing that he doesn't know?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks for reminding him again if he is listening this morning. Appreciate that. But yeah, 20 minutes into it, he just started, sweating profusely, and he was getting dizzy. So we were out on the water, we were anchored, I had to call 911. I had to call the Coast Guard and be like, hey,
how do you call 911 when you're on the water?
Good question. I don't know. I just called. I never had to do it before, so this was a first.
But how do you tell them where you are when there's literally hundreds of boats out
there? Exactly. So I had to give them the coordinates. So I said to them, I'm facing southwest.
We're the white ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the Coast Guard wasn't really able to find us right away, so I couldn't wait any longer.
Oh, my goodness.
So then I had to pull up the anchor. I had to get the boat back to Montrose.
The anchor's heavy.
And it's really heavy. My God. But have you seen my muscles?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Is your dad okay?
No, yes. This is the finale to the story. The ambulance came at Montrose and got my dad, and they basically told him that he has vertigo. So,
Dave, you had vertigo?
I had vertigo, and it's
You had vertigo
no
really
fun.
Bad, Dave. Like, for 3 weeks you had vertigo.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that bad.
It's like a month, like 6 months you had vertigo.
But it's miserable. And I had a friend who just went through it, and it's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do they think's going on?
So, well, I mean, they didn't really tell us much after that. They just said that he needs plenty of rest, he needs to stay hydrated, and he needs to eat breakfast.
Well, that would be good.
That would be good, because that day he did not eat anything besides a banana and a bottle of water.
Don't you notice it? And doesn't matter how old we get as men, we're no smarter.
Yeah. That's exactly what my mom told him.
Vertigo is scary, though. Sometimes it comes and goes, and sometimes people have to deal with it their whole life.
Dave had it for 2 years.
I had it for.
Did you miss work for 2 years?
No, I didn't miss work at all. I came in every. I came in every day, but I was dizzy, and I went to the wrong radio station.
Yeah. And then when he came in here, he would literally bounce off the walls, not figuratively, and we just pretended we didn't notice. Oh
my
Dave,
goodness.
Your chair's over here. Yeah. Dave, you told me back then, if I remember right, there's crystals in your
ear. Yeah, in
and
your
if
brain.
The crystals get out of like not in their crystal place.
Wow.
Then okay. You can lose your balance.
Well, what happened with me was I was lying on the floor watching TV, which uh-huh. is one of my favorite positions. Uh-huh. Hat on the back of the, in the front of a couch.
Lying on the floor, passed out.
Yes. And I jumped up suddenly from a prone position, jumped up really quickly.
Oh, I see.
And all of a sudden I was like, whoa. And that's what apparently knocked my brain out of whack.
Yeah.
Something similar happened to me when I was at Disney World. I went on a ride, and they think that I had knocked some crystals loose or something, and I was laid up for the entire 3 days.
What was the ride?
I think it was like a spider. It was some Spider-Man ride. Your feet are hanging down, your legs are hanging down,
hilarious.
And you're kind of strapped in.
Actually, it's a small world thing. The carriers, the little carts. What are the things called? You sit in. It's a small world. Places you sit. Those things are so small, you could break your hip.
It is dangerous.
And lose your mind.
There's no
reasons.
Leg room.
I mean,
I'm not that tall. There's no leg room in the thing.
Okay, it's not really designed for you.
It's
for
not?
They call them cars, don't
it's called,
they?
It's a small world,
I was
Steve.
Just,
well,
when
that's
you said,
why it was so weird that I was there.
When no, you said kids. Crystals, I was picturing, like, you know, the crystal shops where you hold, like, different crystals to, like, help yourself get through the day.
That's what Dave does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like
so.
So you guys didn't ask, but you know, here's my weekend.
I
you
did
didn't ask me.
Yeah,
well,
asked
you didn't ask me about my weekend.
How was
you had a wedding?
How was your weekend?
It was fantastic.
What'd you do?
I went to a really cool reimagination of the classic cabaret. It's called the Fly Honey Show at the Den Theater in Wicker Park. And it advances gender equality and promotes self-love. And it's all about body positivity.
Wow.
You would have loved it.
Heavy.
It's a long title.
You would have loved it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm all bozzy. Bozzy.
Body.
Body positive. Oh, here comes my vertigo. Mike, what do you know about vertigo?
So I'm an occupational therapist and used to work in a facility where both OT and PT could perform what are called epley and samot maneuvers, which are maneuvers like turning your head really fast or rolling your body really fast. But it's all a part of vestibular therapy, which helps put the crystals back in the right spot so you don't have to take medication for vertigo.
So you got to roll in a particular way?
Yes. Like laying on one side with one arm above your head and rolling really quickly to the other side, and it'll realign the crystals.
What about that I have water in my ear snap kick that swimmers do? No?
Probably not. Probably just give you whiplash.
And what was the other thing you mentioned? The zippity-doo-dah move? What was the other one?
It's called the epley and the samot.
Which is the epley is the one you roll?
They both have they both use rolling or turning your head quickly in different manners.
But you shouldn't do this by Google searching it. You should actually have a PT look at you, right?
I mean, you can probably learn it from YouTube. Like, I learned how to replace my electrical outlets from YouTube, so I'm basically an electrician.
Okay, yeah, that's
so
exactly
I'm,
right.
I'm sure you could figure it out. But yeah, I would go to a vestibular therapist who normally is a PT or an OT, and that way you don't have to take medication.
And where do you work, Mike?
I work in the skilled nursing facilities right now, so
okay.
Unless you're over 80, I don't.
Some days I feel like I am. Thank you, man.
You all have a good day.
See ya.
I'm excited. So the next time Dave has vertigo, we could look up how to treat him on YouTube and roll him properly.
What do you say, a template? Yeah.
The epley, the sleep it off method in Dave's case.
Okay. First of all, I hope that never happens again.
Yeah, but Dave, honestly, we need to be prepared.
Yes, we've got you.
Don't you think
Steve and I have you?
We need our own physical therapist, occupational therapist in this.
Getting more like it every day, huh?
We're going to need every day somebody else has it.
All right, so we have a guest at a 9 o'clock hour. This is my weekend. You guys didn't ask. But here's the deal. I'm playing golf with some pals and
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger Woods, Tiger and Phil. They're not busy this coming weekend, so it's fine. Bob Pierce, Jim Roth, and Will Roth specifically. So we're playing golf, and Bob Pierce tells a story. He's working in his home office, and there's somebody at the door, And his wife goes out and checks the door. And outside the door is a woman. And a woman's holding a bird and has some sort of little dropper or injection-type device where she's putting it in the bird's mouth. It's a hummingbird in her hand. So it's not like an Amazon delivery. You know, who ordered the hummingbird? So obviously she opened the door, tried to find out what was going on. Turns out the hummingbird was injured.
Oh, no.
And the people that take care of their lawn, the lawn maintenance people, noticed a hummingbird was injured. That dude Googled, what do I do with an injured hummingbird? And up came something called the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. Now, this is, ties into you specifically, Dave, because every spring, birds attack Dave's house. Mm-hmm. They fly into the window, and then they drop. And they fly into the window, and they drop. And they don't seem to learn. And you put up fancy, sparkly, shiny tape and various other things.
I did.
The Chicago Bird Collision Monitor should live in your yard. So these are people who are volunteers who learn how to help birds. And then when a bird, bird is in trouble, they come and they show up. And by the way, they showed up at this house in West Suburban Aurora in less than an hour.
This is, I think
this I didn't know this existed.
I did know this existed.
Oh, you did?
I did. It's pretty awesome.
The Chicago Bird Collision Monitors are there to save your hummingbird, and no, that's not code.
I only knew this existed because I once visited the Peggy Notarbart Museum, and they said that even if there's birds that run into your building and they're actually deceased, you still should call them so that they can then take the specimen. Because they preserve a lot of specimens. That's a separate thing. But I knew about, there's a lot of, whether it's dead or alive, injured, there's resources you can call.
Well, here's and there's bird rescue places, too.
Yes.
Because we have one in our town.
Well, here's a text question, because I didn't know about this. What's the rest of the stuff I don't know about? I want people to tell me. I want people to tell me all the stuff I don't know about in this city. Stuff that you know goes on that I don't. Now, if you tell me, hey, there's this thing called Navy Pier. No, heard of that. I'm talking about the unusual things like this. I didn't know this existed. I didn't know this was a job. I didn't know this was a thing.
Just to clarify one thing, the birds that attack my house don't drop. They just back up and try again.
Wow. They're like angry birds.
They are.
And they're not
angry
very smart.
Birds. No.
So there you go. And there are other things that happened this weekend, but that's, you know, that's part of it.
Well, I thought
anyway,
it was
the bird
a golf
collision
story.
People will be on at 9:40. Yeah. Oh, I can tell you golf stories, but not right now. Phil Mickelson's hotel got hit by lightning.
How about that?
But anyway, best to your dad.
Thank you
Viv.
Very much. Thank you. Thank
and,
you.
And you know, don't take the boat out, especially you.
Well, no. The good thing about this is that the next 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, I took it out by myself.
You just don't learn, do you? Just
no.
Don't learn. You really went out by yourself? Just sit on the boat by yourself?
Well, no, I had a group of friends.
I was going to say, you could have called some people on the show if they would have joined you.
Yeah, I should. Next time, next weekend, everything.
I don't see that happening. We'll come back to the headlines next on 720 WGN. All right, so, you know, Letterman used to do, is it a thing, not a thing? Is there things I don't know? Apparently, there's a lot of them, other than the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. So tell me about this stuff you know about that I don't know about in this town, in this area, in this listening area. Well, everybody, you can listen anywhere in the world. Greater Chicago and the burbs. God, I'm making this harder than it needs to be.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP called Dr. Morse right now?
6:45, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Get Doc Most in here for a quick chunk here, then we'll come back and do the bulk of things. First off, Doc, this bird collision monitor thing, which I don't know if you were listening in the last, you know, 20 minutes or so, but some friends had a hummingbird that collided with something, and some bird collision people came out and nursed it back to health.
Wow. How do you get an IV into a hummingbird?
You're the doctor. You tell me.
Well, ask Dave. Dave will know that.
Well, I won't, but I know who would.
The bird collision people?
No, Spike Odell. He's the leading hummingbird expert on this, who's ever been on this station.
I was so inspired by the story from the Pierces that I've started an organization, Squirrels Without Nuts, and I am providing nuts to squirrels who are nutless. 2, 3, 4.
Doc?
Hey, did you hear us talking about vertigo?
No. You think I listened to your show?
Well, listen, at some point, you got to turn off the mix. A vertigo conversation. You know, Viv's dad had a vertigo episode on Friday.
Yeah.
Is that common?
Yeah, it's very common. Yeah. Vertigo is extremely common. And I apologize. I listen to you on the way, but then I get in the hospital and I have to turn it off. So I do listen to you.
So many people say they went to the hospital because they were listening. So it's kind of tied in together. Yeah. But vertigo, do you have anything to add to the vertigo conversation that you didn't hear about something you ought to be doing? I mean, do you go to a doctor? Do you lay down? What do you do?
I mean, sometimes you have to go to a doctor. Unfortunately, we don't have really great medications for it. We have a medication called Antivert, which is essentially a strong antihistamine that may help. And then we have individuals that we can do certain manipulations up their head and move them in certain directions at certain times, because vertigo is often due to crystals in the inner ear. And if we can get those crystals out, essentially vertigo is your eyes are seeing something, your feet are telling your brain something, and your inner ear, which is the three portions of our balance system, is telling the brain something else. So when it gets differing messages, you get vertigo. So often it is going to be an inner ear problem, and it can be treated fairly easily with some maneuvers, actually.
Yeah, we just had a PT call in and say there's this rolling method of it turned into a rolling pin, and there's a way to reset your head.
That's exactly it, yep.
Okay. Texter says, I was recently diagnosed with fatty liver disease. What's a good diet reference for that?
Well, it's interesting. You know, fatty liver disease, a lot of it is due to alcohol use. So I would definitely try to, if they're using alcohol, try to minimize that as much as they can. And it's not really going to be a dietary thing. But, you know, all of us should be on a pretty much a low-fat diet. You know, heart disease is still the number one killer in this country. So decreasing our fat intake is pretty important.
Yeah, and I would say Google fatty liver disease diet, you'll probably get 10,000 hits immediately. All right, so you spent the week at Medina for the BMW. How was that?
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was great. It was a great week. It's a very tiring week, but it's a great week. And from all aspects of it, you know, I was very fortunate to take care of some great players who were very nice. I was very fortunate to take care of one of the most humble and gracious NBC cameraman, Terry Hester, that I've ever. And you know what? The other thing that's kind of cool about this is you get some friendships that you haven't had for a while. Dr. Henry Dominici is a good friend of mine I did residency with. His wife, Gail, worked at Lutheran General at the same time.
How about that?
And they're members. I hadn't seen him in forever, and they both volunteered. But I'll tell you, the cool story is probably Lucas Glover. If you're golf nuts, and hopefully some of you are listening, you know, Lucas was FedEx 41. So he was looking at this being his last week unless he had a really good week. Well, on Thursday morning, he smashed his finger and ended up with a big, what we call subungual hematoma underneath his finger, which I drained on Thursday. And he goes on to play great the rest of the week, jumps to 29, and he's in the FedEx. And each day I saw him, I ran into him, you know, he would thank me profusely. And then after the tournament was over, he came up and he just said, hey, I just want to let you know you made my week. And I didn't, at the time I was just running around crazy, I didn't realize that he got in. So even if he finishes in last place next week, he wins $400,000.
That's not so bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you get nothing.
I get nothing.
Other than the satisfaction of knowing that you helped a good guy out.
Oh, and Steve, Terry Hester, NBC cameraman, you talk about fascinating. There have been two cameramen at the 15th hole of the Masters in the history of televised Masters. He's one of them.
Come on.
He is the cameraman for the presidential motorcade. He's the cameraman right in front of the president's car. And could not have been a nicer gentleman. And so there were some really just some cool things that happened last week.
I'll bet he's got some good stories.
Yep.
You mentioned to me off the air that the members at Medina who all volunteered to help were great, too. And that was my experience when I was out there.
Oh, yeah. Mark Slaby, great. He was very gracious every day. Like, you know, the membership of Medina should be very proud of not only how the course looked, but how they treated all the patrons and how everybody really just raved about how great the course looked and how nice everyone was that they were treated there.
We will come back in a moment and talk about what?
Let's talk just a little bit about viruses. There's some interesting things going on. Like I say it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some interesting things going on with cancer treatment, but then people need to know what's going on around the world with other viruses.
Virus talk in a moment. Dr. Kevin Most, better knowledge means better health for you and your family. Northwestern Medicine at nm.org/healthbeatnews for tips and research and news and more. Dr. Mills, I got a text here. Another exercise you can do for vertigo is a half somersault developed by Dr. Carol Foster, a doctor who's had very severe bouts of vertigo. Google her video. So there you go.
Yeah. Yep. Very similar to the movements we were talking about before that are, again, just to reset those crystals that are in something called the semicircular canal in your ear. So, yeah, very good.
And I don't have vertigo, but a half somersault's all I'm going to do anyway.
Yeah, why
just,
not?
You know, go halfway and just fall over.
Yep.
All right, we know a lot of kid diseases have been stamped out because vaccines work. What's the story with viruses in our body? Where do we get them? Is hand washing enough? Help us.
Yeah, you know, I know we're short on time today, so I'm just going to quickly go over a couple of things. You know, viruses, hand washing is very important. Viruses almost always enter our body through our mouth or through our nose. And what they do is they go in and they find a specific cell that they like. They go inside it and they just start to multiply and wreak havoc. Certain viruses like certain parts of the body. Rhinovirus is a great virus for the upper respiratory tract. You've probably heard of norovirus in the intestines on cruise ships. So they go in, they just wreak havoc, and any time we can stop that from happening, it's great. That's why we've eliminated, polio, essentially.
That's why this whole virus and vaccine discussion is so important in the big picture. But let's go to some specifics here. There are some viruses that do specific things to the body. And if a virus attacks a specific cell, can we teach one to attack a cancer cell?
Yep. How cool is that if you think about it? We talk about cancer treatments, and we've talked about it for a long time. Radiation therapy, chemotherapy, how devastating it is to the body because it attacks healthy cells as well as the cancer cells, because that's what we're focusing on. For this, if you think about it, if we could teach a virus, just look for a cancer cell. So right now, there's dozens of trials going on. We have them for melanoma. We're actually going to be doing one here at CDH for brain cancer patients. So if you teach that virus to go look for the cancer cell, it goes in, it then attacks the cancer cell, essentially. It breaks up the cancer cell. So two things happen. One, it kills the cancer cell. Two, it teaches the body now, after that cell's been broken open, teaches the body's own immune system to look for this to decrease the chance of reoccurrence. The beauty of these are, if you think about surgeries where someone, or cancers, where someone says, you know what, it's so spread, we can't do surgery, or we can't find all the little pieces that have left. Well, if we can teach a virus to go find those for us, we're going to start to see cancers that were not amenable to surgery still possibly being able to be treated with viral therapy.
That's the good. The bad is there are viruses that can damage you for your entire life, and little kids and babies and older people, certainly, like most things, are more at risk here. But we need vaccinations. We need vaccines. We know that those of you who actually went to medical school and actually do the studies know a little bit more about this than we do. And this nonsense about vaccinations, just needs to stop, and you need to tamp it down wherever you can. But you make it as a, you throw out an analogy here for vaccines, which I think makes it easier to understand. It's like the SAT?
Yeah. So if you think about it, if you and I are both going to go take the SAT test, which I'm going to call the virus, mm-hmm. You and I are going to go take it. I am smart enough to go take the pretest. I'm going to go to take the study course before the prep, before the SAT. You decide, hey, you know what? I don't care about it. Doesn't mean anything to me. I can take this test. When we both sit down, I know what to look for. I may not see the exact questions that I saw in the prep test, but I at least know what to look for because I'm the vaccine. You are the person that didn't get vaccinated. You turn the page. You're looking at question one. You have no clue what it is. That's the first you've seen of it.
So you ready the body.
Exactly. It teaches the body what to look for, and it teaches the body how to fight it. So the vaccine SAT thing is probably one of the more simple analogies to say why it's important.
Do vaccinations cause autism?
No, they do not, and it's unfortunate that we even still have to say that across this country.
And then give me a quick yes and no on these. Do we have one for Ebola?
So it's interesting, in Ebola, yes, we do have a vaccine. When we were building the vaccine in 2014, there was a big outbreak of Ebola. It got tampered down to a point where there weren't enough patients to even test the vaccine. So now we have a big outbreak going on in the Congo, which you probably have heard about. So now we're starting to use up all of this experimental vaccine that we haven't even tested. But I'll tell you a fascinating fact. You're talking about Ebola right now because it's very important. Even worldwide, we're looking at it. About 2,000 deaths, 2,700 deaths from measles in the Congo this year alone. Wow. So you talk, we're all focusing on Ebola, but more people have died of measles in the Congo than Ebola.
Speaking of Africa, I'll let you go on this, but HIV is still rampant in Africa. Well, we've made tremendous progress here, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, our problem with HIV is the medications that we've been using now, we're starting to see some resistance in Africa. What we would normally do here in the United States is stop using those medications. They have no options, so they're continuing to use those medications, which is going to lead to more resistance. So there's going to have to be a lot more research on how we're going to treat HIV in the future.
And that's part of what Bono and you too and the Red Project have been working on for so long. Anyway, great stuff as always, Doc. We post the notes with your podcast. Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
See you. It's Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
An animal!
Dan Hampt anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
I was driving in this morning in White Lightning, the Chevy Tahoe. And I was thinking, this is great, you know? It's time for Hamp. Hamp's back. Now, gee, you don't know Hamp. Have you met Hamp?
No, I was wondering in my head. My thought bubble was saying, who's Hamp?
And you've Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, and you've declared that you're not a huge football fan. You like it, but you're
like
not
football.
Breaking down the games.
No, I have none of that. Okay. I just like to break down the football party. I like the chips. I like the...
Well, we can put you in charge of that.
Yeah. I like the nachos.
And Dan Hampton, who will join us here in just a second, would probably say if you're not following football too closely, you could be in charge of the kickers.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They just have to kick the ball in between the posts.
That's the goal.
Yes.
The success... Mm.
I know you guys talk about a snap. It has to be a good snap or something.
It's a snap and a hold
snap
and a kick.
Hold and
yes.
A kick.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want the leg to snap. You want the ball to snap.
The ball is snapped. The holder holds. The kicker kicks. And the
there
key,
you go.
And we didn't get this right last year, doink free. We want the whole thing.
No doink.
Oh, I remember the doink.
No
I was
doinks.
Watching that game.
No doinks. No double
doinks. Doink.
Yes.
Dan Hampton's here. Good morning, Hemp.
Good morning. And, you know, if a person could describe it in such simple terms, a snap, a hold, a kick. Why does it become so hard
right.
on a regular basis? And now, you know, the Bears have decided Eddie Pinera, he's going to be the guy. And Fry Baby, we'll see how this works out. But as you so aptly described, the double doink is... job one this preseason, finding out how you never have to say the word double doink again.
I asked Super Joe to look and see if Fred Cox or Jan Stenerud were available. You know, guys who had success in the past. But it turns out Eddie Pinheiro may be our best bet so far. So anyway, I know how much you love talking about kickers. Hamp, last week I got the roll of the eyes and the look from people who go, oh, here goes the old guy again. As I started to talk about the fact, that, and I believe it is a fact, that you can't play in the National Football League anymore in 2019 than you could in 1980 or 1985 if you don't get hit a few times in the preseason. Has life changed? Is football on a pitch count now like baseball? I don't get it.
Well, evidently, Matt Nagy is, you know, the reigning coach of the year. He is, you know, continuing on with this quest of no starter, no time. It's almost like you're waiting for a Zapruder film to see Trubisky throw a ball somewhere. And evidently, we're not going to see any starter until 2 weeks from Thursday when we open the season on September 5th. So, hey, all I know is this. You know, a lot of his decisions of a year ago, they paid off. They were 12-4. A lot of good things. This is a big one. And just last night, I'm watching the Seattle Seahawks. And last time I checked, they've got a pretty darn good little quarterback. And not only did he play, but he insisted on playing. He said, you know, I need to be able to get out there, see things. In real time, you can't, no matter what you say, it's different in practice. And Russell Wilson, he wanted to start. He wanted to see, you know, the offense in game speed. And I guess we're not a party to that kind of thinking. So I think, what was it, 25, 26 starters and key reserves did not touch the field again in New York, and they won't do it until the season opener. So we're going to watch a bunch of second and third teamers, wrestle for a couple of roster spots. But, like I said, this could pay off in high fashion, or it could be something that blows up in our face. And if you think about it, last year when we went up to Green Bay, we had a lot of this. You know, very, very few starters playing in the preseason. And even though we were able to jump out to a lead with the Packers, we were unable to assert ourselves in the second half. And they came back and outscored us and won, and we didn't have a whole lot of answers. A lot of those answers you determine about not only your game plan but the personnel in a preseason game. Certain guys can't do certain things. You have to find plan B. We didn't have plan B last year. Let's hope we don't need it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Russell Wilson wasn't the only guy that played last night. Kirk Cousins played a little bit for the Vikings. We saw Eli Manning play against the Bears on Friday night for a while. But it does seem, Hamp, like Drew Brees didn't play yesterday for the Saints. It seems like more teams are kind of going to this now. I mean, the Bears aren't the only ones. And I understand that some teams are playing their guys, but other teams aren't. And I'm just wondering if maybe the template for NFL teams is changing a little bit, the way they prepare for the season and the way they look at these preseason games.
Like I said, this is all Matt Nagy, and he's setting himself up for a lot of kudos or a lot of windshield cleaning, because it's going to hit. You know it, and I know it. The Bears are favored. The Bears are in position to not only play great in the opener, but win the division. And if we don't do those things, everybody's going to go back. And, I and my dear friend Ed Obradovich will be, more than happy to point out the fact nobody played the preseason if we don't play well. But to paraphrase John Fox, one gaffe is a tragedy, 100 is a career. So we're going to find out which way this thing's going to go.
Well, here's the thing about Ed Obradovich. The guy won't take an opinion. He just is on the fence on everything. You can't count on him to be passionate or take an opinion on something. By the way, the Three Bears comes back win, Dave.
Hampton OB will be back for the Green Bay Packers game.
With occasional drop-ins from Kaz?
With Kaz, and that'll be actually a little pregame edition that night, though Hamp will be involved in a big ceremony at Soldier Field before the Bears-Packers game that night, and then afterwards at 10:30. Hamp, I wonder if you look at this team right now with 2.5 weeks to go until they play the Packers, there's one thing that you're anxious to see or that concerns you about the Bears. Is there anything you put your finger on?
Yeah. Can our quarterback be accurate? And that, and you know, we just mentioned the great man himself, Ed Obradovich, has pointed out many, many times, you can't teach accuracy. You have to develop it, and you have to practice it. And again, we just spoke of these other very established quarterbacks wanting to be in game conditions to be able to test where they are. And the accuracy of the quarterback is going to determine exactly how we can function on offense, what we're capable of, what we're incapable of. I got to tell you, every time I watch this team, whether it's in the preseason or I went down and watched them practice one day, I am amazed at the talent at the wide receiver position. We talked about the fact that the starters of a year ago, Gabriel and our second-round pick out of Memphis. So now Riley Ridley is an amazing addition and upgrade, but Javon Wims has been, I think, the standout offensive person so far in preseason. He's not only got a roster spot, we're going to watch him play, and we remember in the playoff game, he responded in a huge fashion late in the game when we needed some big plays. He came up with them, And that's what we need to see is our quarterback capable of connecting and making some big plays. And we're not going to find out until the lights are on.
Nice to have weapons. Do you have a snack question for Hamp before we go? Like what he?
Yeah, I want to know what he snacks on. Hamp, what do you like to? What's your go-to snack when you're watching the game?
Well, quite honestly, eating has been banned by Obradovich from the pregame and during the game. He wants us to completely focus on the game. So every once in a while, I act like I'm going to the restroom.
Oh.
And I sneak into one of the offices that no one's in.
You have to clandestine snack. Tostitos.
Yeah, right. And you know what? We need to get him food for the sake and the health of Mark Carmen, because you don't want an angry Hamp.
There are so much food.
I want to know if the big salad's going to show up again every week and let it and where it sits and rots all morning
yes.
long. When coming.
Yes. Yeah. The big salad is a symbol of all that is evil in America today.
Well, next time, Hamp, I'll ask you about the defensive coordinator, okay?
No, don't. Don't.
I like him.
I like you.
Pagano's a good man. I know is, guys, We will speak again many times before the kickoff. But you have a most prescient point. How good will the team be without playing? We're going to find out.
Find out.
In 2 weeks.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, go Bears.
That's Dan Hampton, sponsored by your Chicagoland Chevy dealers, your Northwest Indiana Chicagoland Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Today, Megan Kashner, benevolent her organization, which is great, by the way. You can Google that up. But she also has an MBA from Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. And, you know, she tries to get kids in the mindset of being in the mode of giving and giving back. Might have seen her on CNN, Fast Company, Mashable, MSNBC, The New Yorker, New York Times, and a whole lot more. Good morning. You are the most valuable person on the planet.
Good morning.
All right. So talk to me about young people now. How do you get them in the mindset of taking whatever talents they have and, you know, paying it forward?
You know, the beautiful thing is that today we, the older generations, we don't have to do a darn thing to get the younger generations interested in using their talents for change and for progress
Great.
And for good. They're way ahead of us.
Well, that's good. I mean, I love hearing that, and that bodes well for all of us.
I feel like young folks especially, they sometimes get a bad rap, in particular millennials, but what have you found that they know a lot that adults don't know?
That's exactly right. They have never lived in a world where climate change wasn't happening around them. They have, many of them, you know, their strongest recollection of an American president is Barack Obama. It's a very different world than the one that many of us came up in. And these younger people, millennials and the generations coming up behind them, they're concerned. They're concerned about equality. They're concerned about climate change. They're concerned about natural resources. And they're also just concerned about things beyond making money and buying houses. They've just got different priorities.
As director of social impact at Northwestern, one of the things that's in your purview is values and ethics. How do you convince 18 to 22-year-olds that ethics still exist in a world that's so cynical?
Well, thankfully for me, I only teach MBA students, so they're more like 28, 29, and there is concern. You know, the young people who have decided to pursue an MBA today know that they're going into a world that is focused on still on quarterly profits and earnings, you know, earnings projections, and it is a concern to them that they don't see the pervasiveness of consideration of ethics and longer-term impact in the businesses they're going to be entering to the extent they would like to see them.
So are they teaching you as much as you're teaching them?
Oh, all the time. Absolutely.
See, that's the attitude that makes you the most valuable person on the planet right there. That's it.
Thank you.
The Northwestern Kellogg School of Management is one of the best in the world, and congratulations on your position there, but also your position in helping make sure these kids you're so high on, these young adults you're so high on, continue to deliver. We need all of you.
That's absolutely right, and that's why I do what I do. I chose to leave the world of you know, working every day as a social entrepreneur to come into academia so that I could help young people have the tools, the knowledge, the skills, and the power to go into businesses, to go into positions in finance and consulting and management, and make a change from the inside.
Megan Cashner, most valuable person on the planet, director of social impact, sounds like a superhero. Right? It's only Exchange's own theme song.
Absolutely.
Da, 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 da.
Do, 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 do.
All right, coming up, Ryan Nobles from CNN. Oh, the president's tweeting. What a shock to all of us. I got a lot to talk about from the weekend as well. We'll do that. But we'll do the headlines first with Steve next, 720 WGN.
Greenland, I don't know, it got released somehow. It's just something we talked about. Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up, and I said, certainly I'd be strategically, it's interesting, and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us. Good morning, Ryan. How was your weekend?
Steve, I spent this weekend in Austin, Texas, at a bachelor party for a friend of mine at CNN who's getting married in September.
Is it an on-air friend or an off-air friend?
He's one of my producers, a fellow by the name of Noah Gray, very good guy.
Okay. Did you get into trouble at all? Did you go to Willie Nelson's house?
Well, here's the thing. Noah's in his early 20s. Most of his friends are in his early 20s. I'm certainly the outlier in my early 40s. And I'm learning on a Monday morning after a bachelor party why guys in their early 40s don't do four-day bachelor parties in Austin, Texas that much.
No kidding. Feel like a truck ran you over?
A little bit. And I'm in Iowa right now, so there's no rest for the weary. I had to fly right here and get right back on the campaign trail. So,
Listen, I don't know if you spent a lot of money this weekend, but I am trying to right now put together a group to buy Luxembourg, and I'd like you to be a part of that.
I always appreciate that you loop me in on your big deals.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me, you know. Listen, the thing about this Trump thing, can I play devil's advocate on
this? Sure, go ahead.
You know, I actually think that this would be an example of a positive reason why somebody would have voted for Donald Trump, right? Because part of the reason of his appeal with a lot of Americans was that he wasn't going to do things the traditional way, right? That, you know, a lot of people were kind of upset with the way their government was working. They wanted somebody to come in and shake things up, and they thought that having somebody like Donald Trump, who came from the business world, really didn't owe anything to anybody politically, was going to come in and do kind of these bold things that maybe might be a benefit to the government. Now, he's had all this other stuff that's come along with it that we've talked about ad nauseum on this show, but I kind of think that if his administration had been a little bit less controversial, an idea like this, probably there'd be a lot of people that would raise their eyebrows, but some people might say, hey, you know what? You know, we did buy Alaska not too long ago, and that seemed to work out okay. Maybe this isn't the stupidest idea in the world, but when you couple it with everything else that this administration has done, it's, you know, going to just really be the type of fodder that's used on late-night talk shows.
The thing that, and you're right about everything you said, the thing that blows a hole in all of that is he has not stated anywhere that I've seen why he wants to buy Greenland.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it seems like you would need a reason to buy Greenland, which, by the way, is not for sale.
Exactly. And it would also have to be on the market, right? Those things are all true, and I think you're right. But I think that, you know, crazy ideas often become policy in American politics. It wouldn't have been the first time this happened. And I do think that what happens with the Trump administration that didn't happen in prior administrations is that to this day, it still leaks like a sieve. So every time, there's probably hundreds of ideas that have come in previous administrations that were all talked about behind closed doors, and then, you know, were never really official policy, and then for whatever reason, they went away, and we never even learned about it because, you know, there were cooler heads that prevailed. In this administration, if the president even thinks about something, there's somebody within his ranks that's ready to go right to a newspaper or to a television station or to a digital outlet and report it immediately, and it becomes as though this is what Trump's biggest and most important priority is. So, you know, the two-handed problem here, you've got the perception of his administration, and then you've also got the fact that he's got a lot of people around him who don't have any trouble talking to the press, and that's where you have these stories. That's where they germinate from.
The very stable genius also had an opportunity to pick up a ton of support by just doing what he said he would do. Poll after poll after poll says Americans want, by a significant majority, better, broader, and more significant background checks before somebody can get a gun. He said he would do it, but like so many other things he said he would do, he's now backing off it. What do we know about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of this is in a holding pattern because the Senate is still not in session and they won't return until after Labor Day.
Oh, there's still time.
Right. And I do think there are conversations supposedly that are still happening between the, you know, kind of the people that actually get things done in the White House, not the people that go on camera and talk about it, where they are trying to earnestly negotiate something that Mitch McConnell thinks can pass the Republican Senate. But this is the thing, Steve, this is what I always find interesting about Donald Trump, is that, you know, it's pretty much across the board agreed that he runs the Republican Party right now. And, you know, if he told any one of those senators not to vote for something for any reason, you know, things that maybe that they'd helped for a long time, you know, these guys that are free traders are now, you know, in favor of tariffs, you know, on China, things like that. But for some reason, this thing, all of a sudden, well, there's just not enough Republican votes. People don't care about it enough. Well, I thought the whole thing was that you ran the Republican Party. To me, there's been so many different examples of ways where he's kind of upended Republican orthodoxy and scared all of these guys that are in vulnerable districts and in red states to follow along behind him because he's the one that runs the Republican Party and not them. Why can't he do it with this? Why can't he say, listen, I'm the guy that everybody supports. People trust me. They believe in me. I believe the background checks are a good thing. All of you guys need to follow along behind me. This just seems to be the one issue where he's scared of bucking kind of traditional Republican way of thought, and I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me other than maybe he's just not passionately that interested in solving this problem, which if you kind of add everything up, seems to be the only conclusion you can draw.
Ryan, what was your reaction to his comments about the protests happening in Hong Kong?
Seems to be something going on there.
Yeah.
None of our business.
Right. Yeah, you know, what's funny about that was he basically didn't address it directly, right? He just, he basically wanted to get on the record saying that he knew it was happening, but he... You know, he obviously has an uncomfortable connection with authoritarian regimes all across the country, all across the world. And he has this kind of bromance, frenemy relationship with Xi Jinping where, you know, he's invited him to Mar-a-Lago and they say nice things to each other. And Xi seems to be very much playing the game of flattering Donald Trump when he's in front of him. And then when they're in different rooms, he's still talking on the side to Kim Jong-un or, you know, manipulating currency and doing all those things. So he certainly hasn't expressed support for the protesters in any way, shape, or form, because I think that in this country, he's not particularly fond of protesters. And he wants to somehow strike this careful balance with Xi where they can somehow get some sort of grand deal done in the future. But you know, to your broader point here, you know, this is an opportunity for the president of the most powerful free country in the world to stand up for the right of free expression. He's passed on that opportunity, and he hasn't really explained why.
You're in Iowa, so is Steve King. Maybe Steve King should leave Iowa. He did a town hall of sorts the other day after being in Congress for I don't know how many terms. He had two people show up. Two. And one of them said, I was hoping I could leave, but there were only two of us there. Is this another thing that's going to go the way of the news cycle, or are the people of Iowa incensed about this and they want him out?
So, what's always been interesting about Steve King is that he's been a survivor. He's almost like a political cockroach. It doesn't matter if there's a nuclear explosion around him. He still seems to kind of crawl out of the wreckage of his own controversy and still get reelected. There does seem to be a shift this time, though. And it's not just you know, within Iowa, you're right, there's evidence, kind of like anecdotal evidence, of him not being able to draw the same kind of crowds that he drew it when he would have town halls in the past. But also, you know, he's lost basically all the support he had within the Republican Party. They've stripped him of all his committee assignments. He had very little power to begin with. He now has no power. So the question is, you know, the district that he represents is still a relatively Republican district. He's going to definitely have a primary. He may have two or three different people run against him in a primary. And then this guy, J.D. Scholten, who ran against him and came close to beating him as a Democrat, is going to run again. You know, there's going to be a ton of attention on Iowa, obviously, because of the presidential race. And even after the caucus, Iowa is somewhat of a swing state. So you're still going to get a lot of attention here. The odds seem stacked against him, Steve, but Steve King is one of those guys who understands his district better than anybody who's going to run it, because he's run there so many times. He knows where the votes are, and he knows how to go get them. The question is, has he just gone too far? I mean, his latest comment about how if there weren't rape and incest, perhaps we still wouldn't have a civilization. It's just, you know, you shake your head and think, how it doesn't seem possible that he could say something that would be even more offensive, but yet he finds ways to do it. It really is a unique talent.
All right, listen, the good people of Iowa deserve better, and I certainly hope they're going to get together and throw his behind out. Thank you, Ryan Nobles. And by the way, if you want some entertainment this morning, read the Trump Twitter feed. As always, he is while he's saying on the tarmac that he's sure the New York Times is going to endorse them, he's tweeting out that they're going to be out of business soon. You know, pick a lane, dude. Really? The only thing consistent about Trump is his hair. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Have a great week. I appreciate it. Later.
Ryan Nobles, we continue to work our way through State Fair food around America. And I want to give Dave some more healthy snacks to have when he's at the State Fair.
I'd appreciate that.
Continue to work through that this morning as well. Oh, and later, people who take care of birds after they run into walls and windows. We'll explain. Not now.
It's Super Joe's White Sox Trivia Question!
I don't know if you've heard this, G. This is a very subtle intro to Super Joe's White Sox Trivia Question. It's been like going over
this. Super Joe's White Sox Trivia Question correctly.
It's still going. Wow. This is intense.
Let's go live now to Super Joe with a question of the week. What do you got?
All right, so White Sox first baseman Jose Abreu hit two home runs in the series against the Angels, bringing his season total up to 26.
That's good.
It is good. Barring injury, the Cuban slugger should be able to get to 30 home runs over the next month and a half. If he does, he'd become the fourth player in White Sox player to have at least 30 dingers in one season at least four times.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Shoeless Joe was not one of the other three to do so, but I need one of those other players.
Lucas Giolito.
Lucas Giolito is not.
I want to know, so Dave, do you always know all the answers?
No.
Can I answer for myself, please?
I'm sure he does. Right, so you know all these answers.
Got a family four-pack of tickets to the White Sox and the Rangers Sunday, August 25th. Tune in every Monday at this time for Super Joe's Question. And if you know the answer now, you call us. You want tickets to the White Sox, call them. 866-SOX-GAME or go to WhiteSox.com. We'll get a winner when we come back in the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, Super Joe, question one more time.
Jose Abreu, if he gets to 30 home runs, he's got 26 right now, he will become the fourth player in White Sox history to have four such seasons of 30 home runs or more. Name one of the other players.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Still not Shoeless Joe.
Jason, you're in Mendota, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What do you do there?
Listen to you.
Well, good call. I hope there's good money in that. All right, Jason, what's the answer?
I'm going with Frank Thomas.
Ding, ding, ding.
Frank Thomas. That's good.
That was one of the easy ones.
Bo Jackson.
Bo was not one of them.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Not Shoeless Bo Jackson.
Third time's
either.
The charm, Steve Cochran.
Yeah, the other two were Mags Ordonez and Paulie Konerko.
Ah, Dave, did you know that?
I knew
Konerko.
And I was also going to throw in Ron Karkovice just for good measure.
Yeah, there were a couple players that were close, but just those three.
That man's mind is a steel trap.
You talking about Dave or Joe?
Dave and Joe.
Yeah, one steal, the other's a trap. 803, we'll come back. We'll see what Dean is talking about. More on entertainment is moments away.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, hi.
It appears the microphones have to be on to be heard. Moron Entertainment. Well, I'm a moron. I didn't turn my mic on.
Moron.
Exactly. Thank you.
Moron.
Exactly. Thank you.
So I'm at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Right now?
No, on Saturday Saturday night.
Okay.
Went to see Bernadette Peters in concert.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Did she do that little voice of hers?
She has a tiny little voice. Mm-hmm. It's cute. But, man, can she sing a song? You know, just...
To belt it out, right?
Belt it out.
That little body of hers, where's all that power
belt it
come
out,
from?
Queen of Broadway. But I'm standing in line at the concession stand at the bar.
Were you getting the Goo Goo clusters?
I was not. I was just getting a beverage, a pre-show beverage.
Whiskey, straight up?
I just get a bottle. It's a lot easier.
By that he means with a nipple on the end of it. He literally gets a whiskey bottle.
Saves a lot of time. I'm waiting in line, and the gentleman behind the counter, I guess the bartender, goes, you know, can I help? He's sort of looking down and says, can I help you? And then he looks up and sees me, and he goes, moron.
That is fantastic. Awesome.
So it's spreading.
I had it yelled at me on a golf course.
See? Yeah.
Well, did they?
From another fairway. Guy goes, nice shot, moron!
I don't know if that had anything to do with this.
That could be completely different. Yeah, it might be separate.
I was at the jewel store, and I'm shopping, and somebody comes up to me and just sort of like on the sly, almost out of the side of her mouth, goes, "Hi, moron!"
Like it was your secret, just the two of you. Hey, I was thinking of you, moron, because this whole thing with Trump buying Greenland, how did you not get in on this deal as your real job as a Remax agent?
Very, very upset. I was trying to get that listing, and turns out I've never listed a whole country before. So I missed opportunity. I'm gonna
blame it on your assistant Seth, who is still adding up the number of bedrooms and bathrooms in Greenland for the listing.
Right, he's in charge of writing the flowery descriptions of the house. He's not really used to acquisitions. I normally handle the acquisitions. But
would you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was a nice weekend. Very nice weekend. You know, fairly uneventful.
I took
my mom and my aunt. The Greek Thelma and Louise to the Psistaria restaurant.
Nice.
Greek restaurant on Tui in Lincolnwood. Very nice.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. We got a guest coming on next hour from the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. Do you know these people?
I don't.
A friend of ours was playing golf with them this weekend. His name is Bob Pierce. Inadvertently, apparently, a hummingbird had some troubles and out in front of his home. And the lawn maintenance people called, or actually Googled, said, what do you do with a bird that's down? And they got the Chicago Bird Collision monitors. They were there within an hour like superheroes. And apparently Bob's wife, Jeanette, opened the door to see a woman holding a hummingbird and hydrating it. You know, dropping water in the beak.
Eyedropper.
Yeah, like an eyedropper situation.
Good. That's beautiful.
The Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. So I threw this out as a text question earlier, and I didn't hit it again. I'll hit it again right now. What's the other stuff in this town I don't know about? Right? I mean, there's got to be other stuff, like, because I didn't know about this.
Right. There must be other businesses like that.
What's the other
small
businesses?
Eclectic businesses, yeah.
Yeah, basically, you never would know about this, or Steve doesn't know about this. You know what I'm saying? Fill in the blank. 312-981-7200.
I was driving down the street the other day, and I got a stoplight, and I look over at a store that I had never noticed before, breast implants for bunny rabbits.
See? Nobody knows about
that. I never knew that there was such a thing.
And I started an organization this week, and I mentioned this earlier on the show, Squirrels Without Nuts. Yeah. I mean, that is a foundation you can get behind.
That's difficult.
You know? That's one of the squirrels there from the organization.
Yeah. Wow, that's talent.
Sounds like one without nuts, too.
Wow.
You could tell. You could tell the squirrel doesn't have any nuts.
How did you hone that skill? High-pitched voice.
It wasn't me. That was a squirrel. 312-981-7200 texters. Tell me the things in this town I don't know about that I should know about. And next hour, we'll have the bird people on. All right, here's what's coming up. The Rock got married. Aretha news. A.D. Bryant's doing something kind of cool here.
Mm-hmm.
And a very valuable guitar is being auctioned off.
Yeah, already sold.
You can't buy it.
Ridiculous amount of money.
I'm hearing. And some texter is saying they're developing a home for wayward raccoons.
Nuts or no nuts?
I believe that one's nut-free as well.
Okay.
And the observant texter says, where's Mary? Well, we had to get rid of her.
Wow.
Sometimes you got to have budget cuts.
Yeah, it's time. She had to go.
She'll be back tomorrow.
No.
Jury duty.
Yes.
Are She's at jury duty right now.
She's hoping to foil her jury duty.
I told her, I said, do it.
Obligations.
I was very interesting process. I've done it twice. I'd do
you
it again.
You sat on a jury?
I did twice.
Really?
I like jury duty.
Some I did too.
I want to get out of it. I love it.
Wait, Dean, so you sat on a jury as well?
Three times.
Wow.
I only had two. I was foreman both times.
Yeah, I was foreman once.
I made everybody wear hard hats. all right, we'll come back in just a second, and Dean will go through the list, and we'll say other things that aren't really relevant. Stand by for all of that. But first, and all of this is sponsored by Ravinia.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Cat Cafe, Chicago, Dean. You go and get coffee and pet cats. And you leave donations to help care for cats and treat feline diseases.
Sounds awful.
I've been there.
Cat Cafe. You know where this is?
I've been there, yes. There's two of them.
Do people purr?
People purr?
Yeah.
Well, the cats purr.
Hmm. I would die if I was in that
I know,
place.
Because you're allergic.
Same yeah, me.
Severely.
I'd be dead in 10 minutes.
That may have been the worst dream I ever had. I dreamt that somebody put me in a room full of cats and I just slowly died.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so allergic, I wouldn't even finish getting done bathing myself, licking myself, and I would be dead.
Maybe we could put you guys in a bubble suit and then bring you inside the cat cafe.
Well, that's a thought.
Yeah.
It's a thought.
Go cats.
All right, so The Rock got married?
The Rock announced secretly on Instagram this morning that he married his longtime girlfriend, Lauren Hashian.
Oh, I thought he married Hobbs or Shaw.
Well, he's Hobbs, so that would be difficult. But they got married in a traditional Hawaiian ceremony yesterday. He posted on Instagram some beautiful photos of him and his lovely wife.
How long is a wedding reception in Hawaii? I mean, why would you ever go home?
Well, he has a house there. I mean, he's...
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, by the wedding reception in Hawaii, it's beautiful there. You're hanging out with friends. You're probably a little looped. I'm thinking that's probably a long thing.
Probably.
But if you invite me to a wedding in Hawaii, I'll make the same pledge. I'm not coming.
Yeah, he just wants to be invited.
That's it.
As we all know. He posted the word along with the pictures, Pomekai. Pomekai.
Pomekai?
Means blessed.
Ah, Pomekai to you.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Helpful listener has sent in a picture of a squirrel standing up and says, Steve, I don't think this squirrel will be admitted to your club. I've asked our producer, Viv, to send it to you. Check your email.
Hmm. Oh, no. Is it going to scar your eyes forever? Is it a squirrel?
It's a squirrel standing up.
And with a well-endowed squirrel?
I just think we now know where he stores his nuts.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Thanks for that helpful listener.
Wow.
What's
squirrel
the
must have a very deep voice.
Well, like the size of his squirrel feet.
I don't want
Turns out the
squirrel.
Rumor's true. All right, Aretha, what's the story?
Aretha's family has started a special foundation to honor her. It's been a year, believe it or not, passed away from pancreatic cancer.
Has the service ended yet?
Yes, the service was a little bit on the long side, but they started the Aretha Franklin Fund for Neuroendocrine Cancer Research to raise money, awareness, research for this horrible disease that also took the life of Steve Jobs. Family said they'll do whatever they can to help raise funding so other families don't have their loved ones taken away too soon like they did.
Adie Bryant is a delightful young lady who
Charming.
Is one of the stars of Saturday Night Live, one of the cast members. What's she doing?
She started a line of clothing that's called Pauline. It's named after her great aunt. It is a line of plus-size clothing, and by all descriptions here in the office, people coming by and taking a look at it, Steve, it's, quote, darling.
Hmm. That's how I describe it. Well, that's nice.
It's
a good thing.
It's super cute.
So super cute and darling?
Yeah, super cute.
And did they give you a size range on the website?
It's a little bit hipster, too. Hold on.
All right, you do that research while we say this. Guitar used for one of the most classic songs of all time has been auctioned off. Let's see if we can guess what guitar song it is, because it has to be a classic guitar riff.
It's a classic guitar riff.
I'm going Purple Rain.
Mm.
Prince.
Nope.
Layla, Derek and the Dominoes.
Play the audio clip, please. Okay.
How about that? Two guesses.
You're a genius.
Layla, Derek and the Dominoes.
This is why he's up for the Radio Hall of Fame.
This is why I should still be a disc jockey.
One of the classics of all time. That's Dwayne Allman, actually, ripping that guitar. I'm going to talk like I know something about guitars.
Was he shredding?
Steve, yeah, he was shredding. Okay. That's a 1957 gold top.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
Dual exhaust.
Yeah, he played it, but only shortly after Layla, he swapped it out for a 59 Les Paul.
Ah, the old 59 Les Paul swap trick.
No idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But the
how much did it go for?
Guitar went for $1 million.
$1 million?
$1 million.
Derek and the Dominoes didn't make $1 million off that song.
That's very true. That's very, very true.
Wow.
The guitar all these years after Dwayne Allman died, the guitar was sold. It was had been pretty beaten up by then. It was restored and put into a vintage guitar museum, where famous guitarists come to pay homage to that guitar because of the song that it played, because of Layla. And the new owner of the guitar, who is anonymous. And I think people like that want to remain anonymous because they don't want people to know how nuts they are paying $1 million.
They don't want their wives to know this.
Yeah, that's true. But the new owner said that he's going to return the guitar back to the museum several months a year.
Oh, that's nice. Wow. See, I like when rich people do that, when they buy something, but then still share it with the public.
You know my third guess was? Joe Walsh, Hotel California.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow.
It's not a good guitar riff.
That's a good one.
All right, before you go, the State Fair food thing, we've been working through our State Fair food, and you do the food show every Sunday?
Yes.
A couple we haven't gotten to yet. Deep-fried bubble gum.
Mmm. Sounds awful.
You take marshmallow extract and dip it into pink bubblegum flavored batter.
Yeah.
And then fry the marshmallows until they're golden brown. By the way, that's the State Fair of Texas.
Hmm. Right, so can you still blow bubbles?
I don't know. I think you'd probably throw up.
I think you'd have to be able to, otherwise it wouldn't be bubblegum, right?
How about spam curds?
Spam curds sound good.
Yeah. I mean, Dean and I like spam.
We love spam.
Some Minnesota State Fair.
I'm wearing some right now. I won't tell you where.
The pumpkin spice.
I mentioned this earlier in a segment, but Tennessee is doing deep-fried goo-goo clusters at the State Fair.
Now, goo-goo clusters are delicious. I grew up with goo-goo. Have you ever had the peanut butter goo-goo cluster?
I have not.
Yeah. There's one that's not just the caramel and nut. There's the peanut butter one.
You're a goo-goo cluster.
Steve, like my squirrels, I like my goo-goo clusters without nuts.
Girls, how about deep-fried Girl Scout cookies?
I'm told that those are very good.
Yep, North Carolina.
The chocolate mint ones.
Mm-hmm. And last thing, and this is not something I call Dean. This is actually a State Fair of food, and I don't know if we've done it before because, frankly, I forgot. Kool-Aid balls.
I feel like maybe you mentioned it because we talked a lot about balls last week.
Oh, Kool-Aid balls.
There's a lot of balls.
Dave is insisting that he have something healthy to eat, Dean, so I also have a healthy list here. Water lily pops. Water lilies remind you of an impressionist Monet painting, but water lilies are actually edible too, hailing from India.
I've heard that.
Water lily seeds have been a part of Ayurvedic practices and used in Asian medicine for centuries. They turn them into puffy snacks.
I didn't know that.
Cool.
Made from water lily seed, dried, popped, roasted, seasoned, and topped with tangy turmeric.
Yeah, turmeric.
You got it right this time.
Yeah. I like the way you said it last week.
Turmeric. It's better that way.
Yeah.
Tikka masala, who I believe is a wrestler, and sriracha spice. So I'll get you some more later, Dave, but that's just one.
And Dean, I'd be glad to share my water lily pops with you.
Yeah. If I'm gathering from what Steve just said, if you put enough stuff on it, you can't taste the water lily anymore.
Yep. And just like everything else, Dave, the water lily pops, there is other food. Just telling you. There's other choices.
FYI, Pauline, the clothing line by A.D. Bryant, comes in sizes from 12 to 28.
12 to 28. Okay.
Good for me.
Yeah. 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 I could probably find something make me feel a little sexier.
Yeah.
Steve and I are going to do a Laverne and Shirley spoof.
Perfect.
At the first
having
moron
dressed
convention.
And dragged twice, I can tell you, I am not a pretty girl. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, someone get him out of that dress. All right, I'll see you. Bye. That's Dean Richards. That's Moron Entertainment, and we're back with the headlines next.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We were talking a few minutes ago off the air about Dave's hideous attempt at complimenting G at the top of the show.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
He's so
awesome because it was so not awesome?
Well, it was so sweet because he's trying. I could tell, you know, I could see the wheels turning in his head. He's trying to compliment me, but it just didn't come out right.
All right, so listen now. If you're a male versus a female on the following statement made to you by Dave. Dave said what?
He said, you know, we're going to have to get Super Joe to pull the clip, but basically,
no, we don't.
He said, yeah, you started week three and you look rested. You look great. Like, you know, not like last week when you had bags under your eyes. And did you say something about drooling?
So the bags under your eyes thing, Dave, I get where you were going with that, but I'm just curious. You have a daughter and a wife. Lovely people. Have you ever talked to a female before? Because you can't say stuff like that.
Well, here was my point. Last week, Monday morning, right out of the box, 6 o'clock, her alarm hadn't gone off, and she was tired, and she said she just can't adjust to the schedule. So I was trying to use a comparison talk about how good she looked and rested.
How do you feel that went?
Evidently not well.
Not so great.
No.
Yeah, not so great.
He tried, and I could tell, you know, I know his heart is, you know,
but here's the thing. I get what Dave said. Because I'm a dude. I process it the way he intended it. You, representing all females on the planet here.
Yes.
Oh, my God, Dave thinks I have huge bags under my eyes. He must not like me. He doesn't like the way I look. Or any variation on that theme.
I immediately think, do I need to wear more concealer? Clearly.
No. That's really...
Well, let's go back to the instant replay. This is instant replay from the top of the show this morning. Listen.
G is back for week number three. Much better rested than she was last Monday morning.
Yes, I am.
I can tell the circles have disappeared.
Yes.
You're not yawning.
Dave, you're telling all my secrets to the listeners. Come on now.
I mean, you looked great last Monday. Don't get me wrong.
You're not yawning. I sound like I'm not a professional. Wow. I sound like I'm not grateful for my new gig.
How long have you hated G's mother?
Look, I'm sorry. I'm the one who had the bags under my eyes and was tired this morning.
Hey, if anybody leads the league in bags under their eyes, it's the Samsonites that I carry under mine.
Listen, I think I know where Dave's heart was, but I think maybe we could do a little class on how to give compliments.
Dave, be honest. These golf shirts that I'm wearing, do I look fat in these shirts? Just tell me.
I mean, the theme song was still playing underneath, so Dave really couldn't even wait to just get right into it.
Super Joe is not helping.
Super Joe, really, my friend?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just...
That's why I'm forcing Dave to come to my camp. How to talk to a girl. It's a camp I do every summer for grown men.
It's kind of like when people tell you, like, oh, wow, you look great. You've lost a lot of weight. You look great. And then you're like, oh, wow, what did I look like before? Like, this is not...
It was really... I can't even see you that well from over here.
See, do you hear this now?
That's not helpful.
Okay, he's backtracking. I know that he kind of...
It's not helpful.
Not what I meant.
So you put the
compliment... He can't even see me, so it's not even a real compliment.
Compliment in the insult sandwich.
No, let me backtrack.
Goodness.
What I meant was, I was trying to... No, there's just no way to make myself out of
this. See, when you explain this...
It's only going to get worse.
Assuming Karen wasn't listening or isn't listening
now. Well, she wasn't listening at 6, but...
If she's listening now...
She might be.
You know what she's going to tell you when you get home?
What's that?
Steve's not wrong about this one. He's wrong about all the other ones, but he's not wrong about this one.
No, I know. I know I'm wrong about it, and I apologize.
Well, it was early. You worked last night. I think you were tired. I would never say that you had bags under your eyes or that you were.
I never really thought you did. I
know. I'm just.
It was
teasing.
A reference to how tired you were last Monday and how peppier you were.
Oh, Steve, now you're making Dave feel bad. I know where he was coming
Dave
from.
Dave should feel bad.
I was just giving him a hard time.
Yeah, the circles thing. That's where you lost her. You had her at circles.
The circles have disappeared.
That's so great.
I love it. I love teasing Dave because he is so polite.
But this is a learning experience.
It is.
No matter how old we get, Dave, and even you, you can learn from this show.
Well, you know what? Maybe I should have a segment about how to give compliments.
That would be good because, you know, it is tough, I think, to know how to compliment people these days because you don't want to go over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And
how hot do you look?
I also think that people just shouldn't comment on people's weight. Like, even if you believe someone has lost weight, I don't think you should say, you look great, you lost so much weight.
Yeah, but then there's people that want to be recognized for that.
I know, but it depends on how close you are to that person. Yeah, it depends on how well you know the person. Because
that's why I didn't say anything about Steve's golf shorts.
By the way, you mentioned that? You know, the funniest thing here is if I am ever even remotely dressed like a grown-up, you know, in a workplace, I mean, you know, just a button-down shirt situation,
mm-hmm.
people are going, oh, my God, look at you today.
And then doesn't it make you feel like you're sloppy and unprofessional?
Oh, no, I know I'm sloppy and unprofessional. I just laugh when I hear it because it's like, okay, I've been around for a while. Golf shirt, shorts, that's pretty much what you're going to see from, say, Memorial Day through Halloween.
What is your winter outfit? I've never seen you
pants.
In winter.
Shorts.
I mean, do you wear a hat to cover your head in the wintertime?
Not very often. No.
Okay.
For Halloween a few years ago, mm-hmm. we all dressed up as Steve.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
So everyone had golf shirts on?
A golf shirt, golf vest, golf cap.
I refer to my winter wardrobe as coach wear. And by the way, coach, not the purse.
Okay.
But coach as the guy on the sideline.
And I could be wrong about this, but I remember seeing you in shorts as late as December.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. I'd wear them all year if I could.
Well, you know what? I guess if you're going from home to garage, garage to work, as long as you're not exposed to the outdoor elements.
I just like to show off my sexy calves.
Oh, okay.
I'm very bringing nice. Sexy calves. What?
You know what? I think it's good to be body positive.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Starts and ends there.
The circles have disappeared.
By the way, Dave, I don't want to hit you twice, but you also didn't recognize the fact that I got a haircut.
I said your hair looked good.
You didn't say, hey, Steve, got a haircut. Looks like that all worked out for you.
Okay. Poor Dave. Now I feel bad for Dave. We're picking on Dave.
But you know, I've reached that point where the reason nobody notices my haircut is because I don't have any hair. But I went in. I went in on I guess it would have been Saturday because I get to a point where my hair starts to jailbreak, where it all runs in the opposite direction in the exercise yard. I got a couple of hairs going left, a couple going right, a couple back, a couple forward.
Now, how often do you go to get? I mean, do you go to a barber?
My hair grows fast. It really does. It grows fast. It doesn't grow in all the places.
Right.
But it grows fast.
But do you go, how often do you go?
Like, I go to a stylist every month.
Oh, a stylist, not a barber.
No, I spend $2,000 for this.
Wow. Whoa. That is amazing.
Right? Worth every penny.
Wow, you're getting paid a lot.
No, I just think it's important to take care of your look.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dave is learning. He just told me my head looks less like a bowling ball.
Yeah. Some of those less, nice of him. A lot less.
Yeah. So I think you learned.
We'll get there.
There's a story from last week, which I didn't spend any time talking about. And just to button it up, because in a world of bad news, there are some bad news where you could even have a silver lining in good news. Antonio Basco was expecting a near-empty church for the funeral of his wife, who was killed in that El Paso mass shooting. Mr. Basco had zero family, no family. So he, on social media, invited the community. Didn't really expect anybody to show up. The size of the crowd was so huge that the funeral company had to move the service to a larger facility. Mr. Basco is in tears most of the time, says, this is just incredible. 700 people from El Paso lined up to pay respects to Margie Record 63, one of the 22 people killed when a psychotic gunman opened fire at that Walmart a couple of weeks ago. The line went around the church, down a road. Many people came from across the country. One individual traveled from San Francisco to attend the service. She had read the story about Tony Basco online. Said, it pierced into my heart and soul, and it made me book a flight to El Paso. We need to show when America's in pain, we're all in pain. It's a really sweet story.
Absolutely.
About people stepping up for this guy who's, he must feel more alone than he's ever felt in his life.
I was thinking, just could you imagine going through something so horrifically tragic,
right,
and then not having family to lean on during that horrible time?
Right.
I hope the community keeps on checking on him, too, as time goes on.
I'm guessing he probably made a lot of friends.
I think so, too.
You know? And I think that probably is the case where people, so no matter what the political noise is or whatever bad news has to be reported, just keep in mind there's good news out
there. Yeah, because this stuff leaves the news cycle, but the journey of grief is, you know, sometimes takes a lifetime.
No doubt. So good for Mr. Basco and great for the people of El Paso and those that made the effort from everywhere. You can check out the latest edition of the Steve Cochran Everything podcast, including former Seinfeld writer Andy Cowan and cast members from The Music Man, as well as our daily MVPP. It's on the WGN Radio app, or go to WGNRadio.com/Cochran. And we have new Steve Cochran podcasts going up all the time. Back with the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. But I know I've got one thing I got to do. Rap along. Now
the time is now. Sing my song. I've asked Bill Lapp to join me.
You don't have to ask, Steve.
Somehow,
I've got your side.
Somehow you didn't see the signal. Anyway, you have a massive collection.
Yeah.
Of, what would you describe the collection? Toys sounds trite. Collectibles.
Collectibles, pop memorabilia,
right,
action figures.
Massive.
Almost 30,000 pieces.
Right.
Just shy of 30,000.
Is your wife okay with
she
all
that? She does not know. Let's keep it down.
I mean, you spend a lot of money on it, right?
You should see the size of his closets.
Yes.
Yes. So standing by on the phone is Bob Kirstein. Bob says collectors are shelling out a whole bunch of money for stock certificates of failed enterprises.
Mm.
For instance, you want a Bear Stearns stock certificate, remember 2007, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
$395.
Hmm. Seems
what could reasonable. You get for $395 in your collectible world?
Almost anything I wanted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so a that's lot
of
a money. Lot.
That's a bunch lot. Of cash, yeah.
All right, let me go to Bob and see how he got into this. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing, Steve?
We're doing fine. I want you to say hi to your fellow collector, Bill Leff.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Can you
nice
believe he's got 30,000 pieces in his collection? I mean, that's crazy, isn't it, Bob?
That's a lot of pieces.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I don't mean crazy in a bad way.
No, crazy in a bad way.
No,
it is.
Good and bad. He's a hoarder.
All right, so no, he's really not. You should see it. He's got cases. They're backlit. They're fantastic. He's got a guard named Otis.
Well,
Otis,
how large is your house?
It's huge.
His house is one bedroom, but it's 12,000 square feet. The rest are collectibles.
Wow.
All right, so Bob, what do you normally do when you're not doing this?
What do I normally do when I'm not doing this?
In other words, do you have a job, Bob?
This is my job.
Oh, it is. Okay.
You know, my background's in finance and accounting, and I was a CFO of a number of publicly held companies. Got out of that about 20 years ago, and I got into collecting stock and bonds about 30 years ago, and I thought if I can turn this into a business, it'd be a lot more fun than what I was doing. So when the internet came along, I got on it, and I just started buying and selling stock certificates and haven't looked back since.
All right. So Trump, you may be familiar with him. He's the current president. Trump had a failed casino venture that you could argue took down Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
That was a public company for a period of time. Do you own any of those?
I own Trump Hotel and Resort. I have a Taj Mahal that we're going to be putting up. And there are three different Trump certificates. It's the hotel, the Taj Mahal, and Trump Entertainment.
And which
all
is the most
failed.
Which is the most valuable?
The one that's the Trump Hotel and Casino Resort, because it has a picture of him on the face of it.
And how much is that?
Last one we sold was about $700.
$700. Bill, how do you value your collectibles? I mean, how does the market value them?
There's several different ways to do it. You can check eBay to see, like, on any particular item, what that item has sold for recently.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your safest bet. Now,
are you collecting because of the love of collecting, or is it because you think that in the long run you're going to make money on this?
For me, money has nothing to do with it.
Right. Because these will not be sold until 3 minutes after he dies, when his daughters and his wife swoop in and cash out the collection.
Correct.
All right. So are you married, Bob?
Yes, I am.
And when you went to your wife and said, you know what I want to do? I want to collect stock certificates of failures and sell them. Did she think you were nuts?
She's always thought I was nuts. That's why she married me. But, you know, I started this slowly. Years ago, I got a job in Washington, D.C., and I went to a Civil War show, and they were selling Confederate bonds. And this is before Confederate was on there. So What an interesting piece of history. Worthless piece of paper that must be. You know, because it says Confederate States of America. It has pictures of Confederate generals and everything else. And I thought, well, how worthless. And I go, you know, that's kind of an interesting piece of memorabilia for U.S. history. It was a dark time, but at the same time, it's a piece of history. So I started collecting with Confederate bonds, and then I got into stock and bond certificates and started collecting there. And then I had such a big inventory, I started selling them on the Internet, and the business took off. And again, I haven't looked back. It's been great. Been a good ride.
Which is worth more, a stock certificate from a failed company early on in that company's history or later on when they were closer to failure?
It depends on the company. It just depends on the company. Like Lehman Brothers, you know, those certificates are probably selling for $500-$600 now, depending on, you know, the condition and everything else. But the Lehman Brothers, the failure, you know, there was a time where you can buy them for $1 or $2 each. Now they're, you know, selling $500, $600. And you can't get them. As soon as we get them, we sell them. Yep.
What's the most valuable thing you have right now in your collection?
I have certificates signed by John D. Rockefeller from Standard Oil Trust, Standard Oil Company. I have...
Those aren't failures.
No, those aren't
failures. So failures are just part of your business.
Yes. You know, people collect for two different reasons. You know, they collect for a number of different reasons.
Okay.
You know, because they work for the company, they like the product the company made. And ironically, people buy stock certificates of the failures either because they made a lot of money or they lost a lot of money. They want to remind themselves not to go crazy in the stock market if they lost, and then they want to remind themselves how much they made if the company did well. So people collect for all kinds of reasons.
And what did you say your most valuable pieces?
Probably the most valuable piece right now. Yeah, well, pieces for sale or pieces I have in my collection. Probably, you know, the Standard Oil Company piece. I have a Standard Oil Company piece that was one of the original pieces that probably is worth around $10,000-$15,000.
Wow,
it's a lot of money. How are they displayed, Bob? How do you keep them on display?
I keep them in manila holders. Some of them I have framed. Others I just keep in file cabinets in a manila holder to protect them.
Aren't they paper?
Yes.
So they don't break down?
No.
Well, how about that?
You want to make sure you're not putting them out in the sun, and you have humidity. You have the right type of temperature in your house or wherever you put them. And, you know, if you have them in a controlled situation, they're not going to break down. You know, the way I look at it, people always ask me, well, gee, can I take a picture with a Xerox machine or something like that? I go, well, probably. I said, if they've lasted 100 or 200 years in the conditions they were kept in probably before you got in your hands, I'm sure they're going to last a lot longer, too.
I'm way different than you, because if people come over to see your collection, you fire one warning shot over their head.
That's standard, yes.
Yeah.
Are there conventions for this, Bob?
Yeah, there's a show in Northern Virginia. It's sponsored by the International Bond and Share Society.
Oh, they're fun.
It's in January, and a lot of people go to that show, and you have dealers from all over the world come to that, and it's that's probably your best bet.
Yeah.
If you want to see it in person and touch it and talk to dealers and get their impressions on things. But that's always a great show. It's sort of like a club. You know, it's ironic what's taking place now in collectibles, at least in stock and bond certificates and other type of antiques, is you got a lot of people who are getting older who are disposing of their collections, and they're trying to, you know, either hand it off to their family members or millennials or younger kids who have, a lot of them don't have an interest in it at all. You know, they don't understand, a lot of them don't even understand between a stock.
Sure.
The difference between a stock and a bond, let alone paper and non-paper.
I just feel bad for all of those people who had these stock certificates and then just got rid of them after the companies, you know, went up, belly up.
Yeah, but if you ate it, at that moment, you're going, last thing I want is to see the certificate representing my failure.
But now, think they've lost twice now at this point. So
right. Well, you know what I like to say?
people's horrible losses and tremendous pain is your gain, Bob. That's what I like to say.
Well, it's not always that, but a lot of people like it because, you know, like there's companies that I invest in, I lost money in, but I like keeping the certificate because it reminds me, you know, just, you know, how history can repeat itself again, and you just got to be aware of that.
See, now, I would be on the losing end of this. I am the kind of person that just throws everything away. I don't like to have any clutter. I want to throw stuff away. I want to get rid of it. It's just, you know, a reminder of bad memories. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of it. Yeah. See, I would have been on the losing side of this.
So what if we combine what Bill F. does with what Bob Kirstein does? It's Kirstein, right? Is that my pronunciation?
Kirstein, yes. Correct.
And we got, like, collectible action figures of Warren Buffett and other famous investors and CNBC anchors.
We can't lose.
Right?
No way.
Come on. Do you have an interest in other collections? I mean, is there anything else you'd like to collect, or is this your thing?
Well, I collect all kinds of things. You know, I collect old record players, Amberolas, you know.
Who are you calling a hoarder?
Basically. Not total hoarder, but quasi-hoarder. And I just, anything that's interesting, I like to collect.
Wow.
All right, Bill, if you get the last word.
I'm going to guess your wife doesn't collect anything, does she? She doesn't, right?
You got that right.
That's always the case.
Your wife doesn't collect anything either.
I mean, this does mean that for both of your wives, it means that they can spend money on things that they want frivolously as well, right?
You would imagine.
So they should have a pretty large...
No, but the wives are thinking, I can't spend money frivolously because the dude I married is spending money frivolously.
No, yes. It means that the wife then can then go and splurge on a really nice
purse. I'm not saying she can't.
That's how my wife thinks. I always say, well, I'm buying inventory. She says, well, I'm buying this because I want it.
Exactly.
I know your wife. Your wife's fantastic. She
best.
Ever blown money like this?
Never.
Yeah.
But you're blowing money all the time.
Every
on
no,
your
but here's
figurines.
The thing, and I'm not kidding when I tell you this. I have a rough idea what your collection is worth.
Yeah,
he's killing the market.
But he's never going to sell.
Well, he's not. But three minutes after he died,
if I do,
yeah,
I haven't decided yet.
And the girls will miss you. They just won't miss the stuff.
Right.
Don't invite me over. You're going to have a figurine go missing.
What's going to happen, Bob, when you're gone?
You know, I don't know. I have, I hope, we have it in our will setups where it goes to our kids, but I hope if they're not interested, we'll probably donate it to the Museum of American Finance or something like that, which is a great museum in New York.
I think both of you should put it in your will that your wives can't sell.
That'd be fun.
What about our kids? I'm not worried about my wife.
Your kids can do it.
Absolutely not. Their wives own half of it, thank goodness.
It's a very interesting thing, Bob, that you're into.
It's a lot of fun.
I wanted to talk to you about it. If people want to see the collection, do you have a website or anything?
Yeah, our website is called Scripofily.com, and that's Scripofily.com. And Scripofily is the name of the hobby. They had a contest in 1978 in the Financial Times of coming up with the name of the hobby. Script meaning ownership, and Offily meaning love of it. And it was one's a Greek word, one's an American word, or English word, I guess.
Okay.
And they put it together and came up with Scripofily. And it's a great hobby, and that's our website, Scripofily.com.
I appreciate you being on. Thank you, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. You have a great day.
Bye, Bob.
If there is anything other than what you collect that you would collect, what would it be? You ever thought about that? Like, is there something else?
No, I have not thought about that.
Because you're a sports guy. You've been a sports guy your whole life.
Yeah. I had tons of baseball cards. Almost every
your mom took them.
Yeah.
Psychologically, where did this begin? Why did you have a desire?
I like the time. There's like a time machine element to it. When you look at the collection, it brings you back in time.
Mm.
You know? So I like that.
I got to tell you, there's a weird thing going on with me, and it's not collecting. But I started watching the Game Show Network.
Yeah.
Because when I watch Match Game with Gene Rayburn.
Yeah.
It gives me good memories of something from when I was a kid.
Right.
Well, you know what? This is important.
And that's it. One Match Game episode, 30 minutes. That's the entire good
that's
memory of when I was a kid.
This is important during our time, during these trying times, for you both to have an ability to go back in the time machine.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
Relive your childhoods, gentlemen.
That's like it. Dave looks back at when he played with Red Grange.
Who's that?
It's a guy that was named Red Grange.
Yeah. A football player.
Harold.
I called him Harold.
Prehistoric times.
We'll talk to you in a few minutes about what's on your show.
Yes.
Okay. Go check your collection. I'm worried.
Okay.
I don't have time to do this justice, but Jack Whitaker died over the weekend. And Dave, you and I grew up in the Jack Whitaker era.
Yep.
I would say he and Vin Scully are probably the two greatest poets in sportscasting. Whitaker was famous not just for being a broadcaster and a sportscaster. He actually called the first Super Bowl.
He was famous for being an essayist, specifically about golf. But very interesting guy. I had a chance to interview him, meet him a couple of times. Very nice man. And he passed this weekend. I think he was 95 years old. Can you give me the Secretariat sound with Jack Whitaker? This is cut four. Here's Jack Whitaker.
He's had the roses, the daisies, the carnations. He'll get anything he wants now. Across his withers, 31 lengths is the official margin of victory by Secretariat.
And that kind of passion played itself out through all the stuff he did. But as I said, golf was his thing. And coming off the BMW this weekend, I thought we'd play. This is Jack Whitaker talking about where golf began at St. Andrews.
Nobody designed this golf course. Nobody with a pencil and $2 million and five bulldozers. This was made by nature. It comes out of the ground. It was done with wind and rain and sun and the help of a few sheep. And so while to most Americans and other people, it's not love at first sight at St. Andrews. St. Andrews' old course is like a dry martini, an acquired taste. And as such, it remains with you forever.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. And I think he ended every CBS golf telecast that I can think of, the Masters, it would be, he would have the last word.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, Nance would pitch to him.
Or Pat Summerall.
Or Pat Summerall. And he would take him out and with the slots on the Masters or on any of the tournaments, as you said. So anyway, it's hard to say it's terribly sad. That's a hell of a run.
It's a great run.
95. But the sports world has been less without him ever since he quit working every day.
And there are just fewer of those guys. I mean, Jim McKay was one.
Absolutely.
Vin Scully, certainly, it remains one. I mean, he's still living, but he's not working. So
yeah, there's guys don't write long form anymore.
No.
So who's the guy that yells on ESPN all the time?
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, he's one.
Well, he's an essayist.
See that guy on TV. I want to break my TV. It's 9:33. Hi to everybody on CLTV. And we're coming back with your headlines after this.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. I'm like the bird.
So there's a lot of cool stuff in this town, in your town, in our town, that I don't know about. You know, and I'm supposed to know stuff. I'm supposed to know everything. So I insist on all the cool stuff be reported to me directly.
We'll start. We're going to start a new thing where, you know, we're going to talk about what Steve should know.
Stuff I should know. So friends of ours, Pierce family, had a lawn service deal where one of the lawn service people noticed a hummingbird that was not doing well on the ground and wanted to do something, didn't know what to do. Googled it. And found the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. Annette Prince joins us from there now. And Annette, the good news is your people saved the hummingbird.
Well, that's wonderful, Steve. That's good news to hear. It's what we're out there trying to do.
I know you're not offended by this because I'm sure you hear it before. I had no idea you people existed.
Well, if you haven't had a chance to maybe encounter a bird that needs help, you may never have had an awareness of it. But we're trying to get the word out so that people know where to find help as well as know the kind of things they can do to help birds.
Is this any bird in trouble or just birds that run into things?
Well, our primary mission is as a conservation project in downtown Chicago, picking up birds that migrate through the city in the spring and fall migrations. And we find those birds. Our volunteers are able to recover and document both the dead and injured birds that are found in the thousands downtown alone. But we have people trained to be able to help and assist with other occurrences because we know downtown's not the only place birds are getting in trouble. And we have a network of people that will respond if we can get out to a lot of different areas to help a bird that we might be able to get to a wildlife center and get it recuperated and perhaps released back into the wild.
Now, Annette, does this happen a lot downtown, especially because of the glass buildings? Is that...
Exactly. I think it's a great opportunity to talk about this today because we just finished our air show in Chicago, and now nature's starting one of its biggest air shows, which is the fall migration season, when birds that have been living up in the northern, either Canada or the northern United States, are flying south. They follow pathways through Chicago because the lakefront area is a migratory pathway for birds, and they're attracted at night by the lighting. So we work with a light reduction program in the city. And when they do settle in, after they've been flying at night into a city area, any kind of a glass structure, be it low-rise, high-rise, has a concentration of glass that can cause them harm when they fly toward what they either see as a reflection or as a clear space they think they can fly straight through.
Dave, you had this going on at your house the last two springs. Do you have any
Yes.
questions for Annette? Because it's likely it'll happen again.
Well, I mean, I've done my best to kind of keep the birds from flying into the house. I've used bright, shiny objects hanging from the side of the house. In fact,
plays other radio shows tapes.
My wife didn't like the fact I was hanging like tinsel from the windows. It looked like a party house, but it did seem to do the trick.
Exactly. You want something in front of the glass that either causes the birds not to notice that clearer reflective surface. You can hang ribbons. You can temporarily soak portions of a window if you have a problem area. Because, again, this happens at people's homes as well as the high-rise buildings. So if you've got a problem at your home, we can also, we have a hotline, helpline number that we can talk to somebody about a problem area and maybe make some solutions. Putting decals up are okay, but you got to put a lot of decals up. You can't just put one up. But there are things to do in front. I just redid my windows and put external screens on. So if you've got a screen between the window and the glass, between the bird and the glass, you've got a surface that the bird's not going to get hurt on. So there's a lot of things you can do, small ways, big ways, to make that those glass areas safer.
So, Annette, let's say you're walking along the streets downtown in the Loop. You come across a bird that looks injured. What do you do? How do you handle the bird? How should you pick the bird up? How do you keep it alive until we get...
You're thinking mouth-to-beak resuscitation,
yes,
if needed?
Exactly. Yeah. I want to know what to do. I want step-by-step instructions.
Yeah, now, certainly calling us, because we have teams downtown every morning from sunrise or before sunrise until early morning times. We have people who are living and working downtown who could respond, so keeping our phone number is good. If you yourself can get that bird into what we do as a paper bag, picking them up quickly, safely, putting them into a paper bag and closing that off, they can breathe inside a paper bag, and it's dark and quiet for them to rest in. If you can't do that, even getting him out of harm's way and moving the bird into a planter or something where he's going to be at least protected and can sit until someone from our group can respond and get there is a good idea. We don't want them to get to further harm, which is the reason our volunteers are out so early in the morning. These birds are hurt when they hit the window, but while they're on the ground and waiting either to recover or be rescued, they can get stepped on, they can get run over by cars, they can get grabbed by predators. The crows and gulls and even rats downtown will go after these guys while they're hurt on the sidewalk and they're not strong enough to get away. So we're responding as fast as possible. So getting that bird safe and calling our number as soon as possible can get us there to help that bird get a good second chance to be released and continue on its migration.
What is the number?
It's 773-988-1867.
773-988-1667.
And just no, 1867.
All right, give it to me from the top one more time.
773.
Yep.
988.
Yep.
1867.
Okay, let's go with your number instead of the one I said.
Okay, and who knows, that other person is going to be really sorry that they have that phone number.
Exactly.
Just one really quick question. So it's safe for me to pick up a bird without gloves or anything? I'm not going to catch a disease from touching a wild bird?
That's a good question. Birds are not typically carrying anything that can be transmitted to a human. I mean, birds have things maybe that are specific to each other, but they're not going to cause you any problems. If there's anything we ever get from any other animal, it's more insect, mosquito-borne.
Got it. Okay.
It's not right from the bird itself. It's not going to have anything that's going to hurt you. And we're also promoting an ordinance in the city to propose that new building designs in the city take measures in order to reduce the risks for collisions with birds. So we currently have Alderman Hopkins in City Council who is sponsoring an ordinance that's asking that we try to make Chicago a safer place, because we, in a recent study by Cornell, were shown to be the city with the highest concentration of birds coming through combined with the highest amount of urban lighting that attracts them. So we're sort of a ground zero for bad things that could happen to birds. So the safer our buildings are and the more proactive we are in making things safer, less lighting, better glass design and use. We won't stop using glass, but we'll make it, design it and use it in a safer way. We'll prevent these collisions, because we pick up thousands downtown, and we know that adds up to being tens of thousands throughout the Chicago area. So we're working to prevent the problem as well as help these birds that have been hurt.
Well, Annette, you're doing great work. Do you need more volunteers?
We certainly do. We do.
And
we
you train them, obviously.
Our webpage has got listings of our upcoming trainings, and people can call that number that we talked about before to discuss volunteer opportunities, because we need people to help us downtown. We need people to help us in the surrounding areas to support our advocacy work and education. So we can always use new people. Our trainings are listed. Our webpage is www.birdmonitors.net, N-E-T. So it's birdmonitors.net. You'll see a listing of our upcoming trainings. Please join us. We've got this great group of people, over 200 volunteers that are dedicated people. They're getting up at the crack of dawn to go out there and look for these birds to help them, and they really are making a difference and giving a lot of birds a second chance.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Well, I'm so glad to talk to you, and thanks for looking out for these guys. Today was our first day of monitoring, so the fall migration has started. Birds are moving. Our teams were out for the very first time today, so this is very timely to be able to talk to you. People will see us on the streets. Call our number. Keep your eyes peeled for those birds, and always let us know if we can help.
Birdmonitors.net. Well, there you go. See? We learn. We learn. It's a learning thing.
I feel better about next spring.
My organization, Squirrels Without Nuts, has gone nowhere since I started. What are you guys doing today?
We got John Travolta on with us, Steve.
Is that right?
What? That's Rose. What? Show.
Oh, that's Rose.
Shoot. Why did I dress so nice then?
By the way, did you guys notice that Annette just left the show?
Yeah, what happened with
yes,
that?
Yes, he did.
I mean, he just...
This was a tough day for Dave.
Is Dave upset with something?
Tough
he just walked
day
out.
For
he
him.
Hard, he had a hard day today.
He started off did with he, a compliment.
He sort of had
with
the
bang.
He sort of had the old guy wandered into the woods and didn't tell anyone thing. He just got up and left the show.
No goodbyes, no nothing.
But generally, if I'm still sitting here, it's because the show's not over or you haven't kicked me out yet.
I think he was fed up.
And usually he always says goodbye to Bill, at least.
Yeah.
He didn't even do that.
Not today.
Are you guys fighting?
No, never. Okay.
Last week he told us about Northwestern football practice, so I think he's going there to compete for the quarterback.
Oh, and I just remembered he said not to mention it on air. I forgot that part.
Other than John Travolta not being on, what else are you not doing today?
Well, we got tons of people not coming on and topics we will not cover.
All right, excellent. Starts right now.